Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. George Culber with his brother Charles co-wrote the highly acclaimed story, Thrown Upon the World, a dramatic, true story that tells the tale of a Jewish and Chinese family, each of whom write out World War II in Shanghai, and the twist of fate that brought the families together and then would split them apart. George Culber grew up in Newark, New Jersey, found success in retail, real estate, and finance, involved with numerous philanthropies, including Holocaust awareness. Charles Culber grew up in Union, New Jersey. He was an engineer for Fortune 500 companies, later operated a family-owned business with his wife, Krista. With me today is George Culber, co-author of the book Thrown Upon the World, A True Story. George, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Rick, thank you. Thank you for seeking me out and having me on your program.
Well, this is such an interesting story, and I'm really looking forward to talking about it on the program today. I mentioned a true story. Let's go back and talk about, first of all, why you decided to write this family story.
Well, Rick, my brother and I think it's an important story, and we decided we couldn't wait any longer to tell it as we're getting older and older. While there are many stories of Jews escaping the Holocaust, few people know that 20,000 European Jews escaped the Nazis seeking refuge in Shanghai. Most Americans don't even realize that World War II, the Japanese, were at full-out war with China. That is why so many Chinese also found refuge in the ghettos of Shanghai.
You know, and this is interesting because, yeah, this is something that I read years ago, but certainly forgotten, and it brings it home in the book Thrown Upon the World. With us, the co-author, George Culber. Of all places in the world, why go to Shanghai?
Well, Rick, for the Jews, it was the only place in the world they could go since there was no visa requirement. Nearly all the countries in the world just refused to allow the Jews in. In fact, in July 1938, there was a gathering of over 30 countries in Evian, France, to discuss the, quote, problems of the Jews. After 10 days of conferencing, absolutely nothing was accomplished. It seemed that no country wanted to be bothered with the Jewish problem, always offering excuses like social and economic problems. You should know that the Culber family was granted visas to go to Argentina, which was withdrawn right after the Avignon conference. So Shanghai was now the only place left for them to go.
Where exactly was your family from? And again, how did they get to Shanghai?
You know, our well-to-do Austrian family lived in Vienna in 1938. Just at that time, the pogrom against the Jews, known as Kristallnacht, was literally at their doorstep. They were fortunate to be able to escape to Shanghai, as they just got out by the skin of their teeth. Since the Culber family operated a sewing factory, my grandfather was able to crate his sewing machines to be shipped. He was also able to conceal some valuables in those crates, and then with his sons, they took a passenger ship from the Trieste to Shanghai. But the real drama befell my grandmother and her daughter when they escaped the Nazis. Instead of going by sea, and we don't know why they chose sea except that we were afraid that my grandmother may have been seasick, they took a land route. The plan was to first go to Moscow, where they would board the Trans-Siberian Railway, and then would continue into Japanese-occupied territories via the Trans-Manchurian Railway. But, Rick, you know the saying, even the best laid plans.
Exactly, yes.
First they crossed into Poland. Nazi border guards shook them down for valuables. Even worse, the Japanese would later imprison them before allowing them to proceed. You see, the Japanese didn't understand what the red J appearing on the passport meant. Since Nazis wanted to identify all the Jews, they had a red J emblazoned on the passports. Imagine, every time my grandmother and aunt were stopped, they couldn't know if the Japanese would send them back to the Nazis, be held captive, or allowed to proceed. Rick, their planned two-week journey to Shanghai took 45 days.
With us on the program is George Culber. If you're Googling that to find the book, that's K-O-L-B-E-R. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book he co-wrote with his brother is Thrown Upon the World. Their website is thrownuponTheWorld.com. Such a fascinating story. I take it a Chinese family also escaped to Shanghai. Exactly how did that come about?
My grandfather's family was wealthy and very politically powerful on a national level. He was the equivalent to a governor here in the United States. Also, he was China's commerce secretary for a period. He was recognized for his philanthropy and for fighting opium dens he thought were ruining his country. His family's large ancestral estate got burned to the ground just before the Japanese reached his family. The Japanese were brutal to the Chinese people, probably as merciless as the Nazis were to the Jews.
Talk about Shanghai at that time. What was it like there?
Rick, it was culture shock, especially for the Jews. They faced extremely hot and humid temperatures, language barriers, extreme poverty, rampant disease, near starvation, disastrous sanitation. There was no sewage systems in many places, housing shortages, often 10 persons lived in a room, and scant employment and hyperinflation. It was tough.
And this, I believe, is where your father and mother met. Talk about that, how that came about, and then we'll talk about some of the situations that had caused.
Sure. My mother played the piano, and my father played the violin. They were really very good, and I would even say exceptional. They met at the Shanghai Conservatory of Music when they were paired to play for a recital. Well, you know, music has a powerful way of bringing people together.
And in this case, that's exactly what happened, isn't it?
You bet, yeah.
Now, this would have been an interracial romance. From what I recall, wasn't that frowned upon at the time?
Oh, you certainly. While Jews and Chinese like doing business with each other, socializing or having any kind of romantic relationship was simply forbidden. Because of that, they kept their romance a secret. But then after my mother got pregnant, they kept their secret impromptu wedding from the families. Later, my father would be disowned by his Jewish family, and my mother was disowned by her Chinese family.
Just amazing. And the story that's told in George's book, Thrown Upon the World, a true story written by George Kolber and his brother, Charles. Our website is thrownuponthewworld.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So if I'm following the story, this means you and your brother are children from this marriage.
Yeah, there were four boys born to this marriage, including Charlie and me. The first child, Harry, was named after Harry Truman, and he was born in Shanghai, and the rest of us were born in Austria.
You know, it's a fascinating story in Shanghai, deplorable conditions at the time. How did you get from there to the United States?
Well, yeah, everybody was anxious to get out of Shanghai after the war, especially they were concerned about the communists coming and obviously the culture shock. So my mother and father first relocated to a displaced persons camp in Austria. In the book, we describe the life in these camps, which was rather grim, especially for our mother. Being the only Chinese person, she was socially isolated for years, even by the Jews. It was worse as her husband would be gone for long, long periods of time. Then, like most all refugees, they tried to get to the United States. The United States was the golden ticket for everybody. That opportunity came in 1952. But my father came only with me and my two brothers. He abandoned his wife in Austria while she was still pregnant with the fourth child.
Okay, now let's go back on that a second. A pregnant wife, he abandons her to come to the United States. Talk about that.
Yeah, Rick, it's really sad but true. He not only abandoned them, but after he got to the United States, he abandoned my brothers and me too. We were forced to be placed into Jewish foster care systems. Our father was outwardly charming, very charming, but underneath it all, he was just a terrible human being. It's really a story that has to be read to be fully understood.
And the book is Thrown Upon the World, a true story. George Kolber, the co-author with his brother Charles, our guest on the program. Their website is thrownuponthewworld.com. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As you're telling this story, let's talk a little bit about the research that went into this. This was a tumultuous time in history. How did you go back, do the research, and more importantly, uncover your family's history?
Well, really the credit goes to Charlie. He started the process over 50 years ago, which led to our family finding family all over the world, including Israel, China, Vienna, and others, the United States, even Canada. And now with DNA testing, we even find out more today. It's amazing what happens when you start pulling the string, and Charlie's still pulling the strings. But I suggest to all the listeners, you know, when you start digging down, you'll be surprised at how much you can find. And maybe you folks would even want to write your own books.
That's interesting, because as you're talking about, you're thinking, and I'm sure people are thinking at home, I wonder with my family, all the story that I've never really taken the time to look into, and the satisfaction you get of knowing that story. In fact, let me ask you, in doing the research and filling in the blanks, you knew the basic story. What has that meant to you and your brother to have this complete family history?
Well, you know, we never wrote the book for commercial reasons. We agreed in the from the start that the purpose was telling an important story and leaving the legacy for our children. I can say that we're satisfied that the book is doing well. We're happy. I could tell you that I get manuscripts from people who we've inspired that want to tell their stories. And I say, at least tell it, keep it, track it down, send the information, keep it for your family, because you'll be very happy at the end that you've told the story. I get phone calls, I get emails, I get everything about people who are just satisfied that they did that. So what can I say? But your listeners, take heart. They all have stories.
When you wrote the book and when you started doing the research, I hear so many people talk about, once I get involved in this, I thought this would be a relatively quick research project. Go back, take a look, and you find something that leads here, and then you find that will take you in a different direction. How long did it take you to write the book?
Well, I'll tell you, Rick, our one-year project took 3 years.
Okay.
We hired research people. To me, it was important that it be correct.
Yes.
Because if you read throughout, history is taking place in the background all the time. I don't know, is it history that drives what we do? The man make the time, the times make the man. You know, that kind of whole thinking. It was important that we get it correct, because it was important that we understand our own story. And I am a consequence. I always say we are the consequence of history. We are the consequence of what our families do. And I think that it's important that we understand that. Many people affect your lives, and you should appreciate it and understand it. On the other hand, we must also understand that when we affect other people's lives, so other people are the consequence of our action. So it's very much important that we try to do the right thing all the time because of the consequences associated with it.
What was it like working with your brother, Charles? I mean, you've got somebody who you can talk to. When you discover something, you can talk through it. What was it like working this closely with a very personal project?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We didn't grow up together as children. We were in separate foster families. We were quite a distance apart. And we saw each other from time to time. The Jewish Family Organization managed to get us together. After we started having children, after we got married and having children, we started to get together a whole lot more. But, you know, we had to raise our families. We had work to deal with. But as we got more and more absorbed in the project, I would say that it definitely brought us closer together. We're both proud of the project, and we're happy we did it.
As you're reading the book, you can see it. You can see a screenplay developing because of the characters, because of the rich history involved in the story you're telling. Is there any talk about possibly doing a screenplay?
There's a lot of talk. Everybody that reads the book says, oh, you should do a screenplay.
Exactly.
And I agree.
Yes.
I am working on it now. But if any of your listeners out there are interested in helping, hey, please contact me through our website. In the meantime, anyone can go and visit our website, where you find an interesting 4-minute video that explains the escape to Shanghai. And there's a whole lot of other things that are going on there. So you might find visiting it very interesting. And also, of course, there's a link to being able to buy the book.
Well, yes, and it's such a really fascinating read. You know, the fascinating characters that you learn a lot about, and a part of history, as I said, we may remember some of it, but probably not all of it. And it's important that we understand this period of time. ThronedUponTheWorld.com is the website. The co-author with us on the program is George Kolber. What was this like for you? And I say that you were aware of some of these things going on, but you were a child. Now you're going back with the wisdom of all the years. You're looking at stories, maybe getting a different nuance of the story now. What was this like for you?
Well, you know, it's emotional when you start, and we have collected, and we're going to put this on our website, a lot of data, some photos, some documents that we used and we researched, and we've decided that we even have a wedding certificate that took place in Shanghai that's in Chinese and stamped with a Jewish Star of David for the Jewish community. And these artifacts are very unique. But every time we look at it, you get a sense of, wow, this happened during that period of time. How extraordinary. And then I go back to say, you know, we embrace it, we love it, and we realize again that we're the consequence of all of these things that happened. And, you know, just you're inspiring me right now. I'm going to make sure that all these artifacts that we have are going to appear on our website in the near future so people can see these documents. For example, the red J on the passport is a good example. So,
well, we'll all be richer for it by sharing that. We've got a minute or so left in this. Were there times when you were shocked, you were surprised at what you found in doing the research?
Yeah, you bet. I will tell you, for example, I think the big find when we started doing the research is that my mother and father had to get married. And we found out that the reason they got married was because she was pregnant. And that was a big, big shock to us. And then that started, things started to unravel. You know, we start pulling that thread. It's amazing where it leads. Amazing. And then we, you know, when we discovered that my mother was hospitalized in Vienna and abandoned, I mean, I've got to tell you something. Most people here, and we've said this, if they read the book, many people end up crying at the end. It's not a happy ending for Chow Chen. And I get that information. I get letters regarding that all the time.
It's an amazing story, Thrown Upon the World, a True Story, written by George Kolber and Charles Kolber. George is with us on the program. That's K-O-L-B-E-R. Their website is thrownuponthewrld.com. The book, of course, is available at Amazon, the usual places. More information available, though, at their website, thrownuponthewrld.com. You can link on directly by going to our website. George, it's been a pleasure having you on the program, sharing this fascinating story. Hopefully people will pick up a copy of the book, read it, and enjoy it and learn from it as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Well, it was a true pleasure, and I appreciate you taking the time to tell the story, Thrown Upon the World, a True Story, by George and Charles Kolber. ThrownUponTheWorld.com is their website. Like on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.